Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like The Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
All right, this is part two of the Manson family episode. If you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen. You're going to be confused because we're going to dive even deeper in part two. So then, obviously, the trial was huge news. Tate was like a gorgeous up-and-coming actress, and her murder was everywhere. Cops initially ruled out a connection with the three murders, even though they all had messages written in blood. Then one of them realized the connections of the words with the Beatles album. So The Ranch was written on August 16th on suspicion of auto theft, but then everyone was released. But then the cops were onto them, so they raided The Ranch again on auto theft suspicions. Susan Atkin was arrested for her involvement with the Hinman murder shortly after, and then when she was in jail, she kind of spilled all the beans on everything else.
Yes, Susan Atkin was really, like, they called her like the scariest one too, because she seemed to just kind of be like real jazzed about everything that they did. Like, she was just like, me and my friends did all the stuff, and people were like, okay. She was also 21. She was like a 21-year-old woman who was just like confessing to like the most gruesome murder of the time, you know.
I also Google imaged her, and she looks scary as fuck. So, it tracks.
She does. Yeah.
LSD's
like
a
Halloween
hell of a
witch.
Drug.
Yeah. Okay. Susan also revealed a list of other celebrities they intended to kill, including Elizabeth Taylor and Frank Sinatra. Good thing they did not go through with that. And as we said before, Manson wanted people to notice the murders.
Yeah.
By December 1969, warrants were out. They went to trial in June 1970. Manson, of course, represented himself after his initial lawyer dropped him. And this was apparently because he was also defending Leslie Van Houten, who was involved in the LaBianca murder. You would think that he would have realized earlier that that was like a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Whatever. This lawyer thought he could convince a jury that Van Houten was influenced by Manson, as she was only 19 at the time.
Yeah.
Courtroom, there's a lot of courtroom shenanigans, as you can imagine. This included trying to stab the judge with a pencil. Sure. Manson carving an X into his forehead that later turned into a swastika. Again, great guy.
Perfect, obviously. Yeah.
Yes. The women supported him also by carving X's on their heads and then shaving their heads, and they would giggle during the trial.
Yeah. They would also like sing songs. Like they absolutely like were still in 100% support of him and like didn't take it seriously. Like felt
like a game to them. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. It was like, they truly look like psychopaths. All three of them with like X's on their head and like shaved heads. Like,
shaved heads is so creepy.
It's a wild visual.
The defense didn't call any witnesses, but then all the women accused wanted to testify to say that they had planned everything and then Manson had nothing to do with it. And that, my friends, is a true ride or die.
Really.
But so because Manson didn't actually kill anyone and wasn't present for any of the murders, it actually was not an easy trial. It ended up being super long. Vincent Bulgosi was the prosecutor who ended up getting the guilty verdict, though, and he later used his fame to pen the book Helter Skelter, which I think is like one of the like best-selling true crime books of all time.
Like has sold like 7 million copies or something like that. Like this guy became fucking famous after this case because it took so long. Well, he was like the second one to come, and like there was another guy that came in, but he started talking to like the media about stuff, and so they're like, get out of here. So Vincent Bulgosi came in and became like this kind of like star like prosecutor, and it's just this seems like an easy case to fucking get him on, you know, but
you
apparently
would think, but apparently it wasn't anything.
Well, because he's a white guy, so you know, they always get, everyone's like, how? Yeah.
Yeah, because he wasn't actually present, so it was like harder than you would think.
But eventually Manson was convicted, sentenced to death in 1971, but that was later commuted to a life sentence, I think for everyone too.
California
abolished the death penalty.
Yeah.
Atkins, Krenwinkel, and Beausoleil and Van Houten were all sentenced to death, but then again later commuted to a life sentence. Linda Kasbian, who was a star witness, was granted immunity. Also, there were apparently 35 killings, but a lot of them were not brought to trial because of lack of evidence and because, like, most of these people were already in jail for the Tate and LaBianca murders. Manson died in prison at age 83 in 2017. He was denied parole 12 times.
No shit.
Sorry, what?
Oh, I said no shit. He was denied parole. Like, why even try to get parole? Yeah.
I know. Why even give them the option of parole? I don't know. And I actually, like, remember the day that he died. It was, like, a huge fucking deal in the news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it wasn't that long. I mean, it was just 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Which seems like it was 25 years ago.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Susan also died in prison in 2009. At the time, she was California's longest serving female inmate, but then that record would later be surpassed by her fellow family member, Patricia Krenwinkel, and also Leslie Van Houten. Susan was denied parole 13 times, and then after she was diagnosed with brain cancer, she asked for compassionate release, which, to quote herself, "I have no mercy for you, fuck off," and that was obviously denied.
Susan also, like, they were obviously, like, all of them. I mean, they were so young when this happened that, like, if you look at what happened to all of them after, like, they all seem to have found God in prison. And, like, she gave this interview afterwards that was like, "I actually didn't kill anyone. I lied about everything. I only watched people being killed."
Bitch, no, you didn't.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, so she, they were saying when she first was, like, taken in, she was like, there was something, like, I think when she was getting sentenced in the courtroom, she said something like super crazy and ominous, like, "Sleep with an eye open or sleep tight, I'll be watching." Like, I didn't put the quote in, and I don't remember what was wrong, but she said, like, they all called her like the scariest of the women and the evil one. And then she's like dressed in all white in that 2021 Danny.
Yeah.
Where she's like I didn't do anything. I love God. Like, I had to forgive myself. I hope that, you know,
people find God in prison. Like, anyone can find a Starbucks in New York. Like, every corner someone's
true.
Like, "Thanks God, I'm healed now." And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Also,
you'll
feel
find
like
what you need to make you feel better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's also like you traded one cult for like another. Like, I don't really, it's like,
I mean, you're
all right.
Wrong there.
No,
we just know that you like religious figures, like, that doesn't mean shit. It doesn't mean you're a good person or reformed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, okay, so you like God. What about all the stuff you did? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
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 I know, but like, it is kind of crazy to think of like how people do change. Like, we've talked about before, between the ages of even 21 and 30. Like, could you imagine if your 21 year old self thought it was okay to murder somebody, and then at 30 you're like, "Oh my God, no, I know I wasn't supposed to do that." That's so stupid of me.
Like when you're 20,
it's wild.
The only thing you're allowed to change on is like when you're 21, you think Drake is a great rapper, and then when you're 30, you're like, "Oh, he just mumbles." You know what I mean? Like that's normal growth progression.
Yeah, or like, or bad. I don't know. I thought it was a good idea to have side bangs, and now I'm
that's
like,
"What I'm saying."
Why did I do that?
I know, but that's
but
what
I
I'm saying.
Didn't,
imagine
like, really stab anyone.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we know how different. But like, could you imagine? That's what I'm saying. Could you imagine if, instead of that side bangs, you were like, "I could kill someone." Like, yeah, no, murder seems, but like, it just, it's crazy that they made all, they ruined their lives at such a young age for doing something. And like, and she even says, she's like, "I know I took these innocent lives. People deserve to be, they deserve to be alive." And she's like, "But I'm also a human being. Like, I have my feelings hurt, and when you cut me, I bleed. But it's like, yeah, you were you.
Yeah, but did really Sharon said, Tate bleed
bitch,
when you cut
I have
her too?
No Fuck mercy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is an interesting question that you bring up because, you know, it does bring up like, is someone who did something this brutal capable of change, or are they just kind of saying what they think the system wants to hear so they can get out of prison? Like, and yeah, we'll never exactly. know. We don't know.
No, like you don't know if these people had it in them or if they really were just like, the drugs affected a part of their brain. Like, cause she even said, Susan right. was like, she spent like 7 years in isolation. And she said for the first like 5 years, she couldn't get Manson out of her. Like he still had control of her. And they also believed that he like could read their thoughts. So she still like thought, she still thought of him for 5 years just by herself in a prison. Like it was some fucking fucked up thing, but it is weird to go and give so much detail to somebody about how you killed someone and that you wanted to take this, like the gruesome details, and then to go back and be like, no, I lied. It's like, where in your brain did you come up with these, why?
Yeah.
You lied about, like, you went into gruesome detail. You could have just been like, yeah, I did kill this person, but you gave like crazy details about what you wanted to do.
Exactly. You knew all the facts. People had you there. It's kind of,
you didn't lie.
No, you didn't lie.
You did it.
You
right. did it. Like maybe she exaggerated because she wanted to play it up for fame and whatnot, but I don't think she didn't do it.
It's also like, remember Susan was also involved with Gary, like she all was part shit. Of the, yeah. when they were like torturing Gary for 2 days.
Like yeah. she's it from the
she
beginning.
Was
yeah.
part of it from, yeah, she yeah. was like there for all of them.
Creepy. I'm Googling her face now.
And then, oh, Google her face. Yeah. And then while you're doing that, also, because there are some aftermath things of the case and where people are now. So in 1975, one of the family members held a gun up to President Gerald Ford.
Yeah. It's like a woman named Squeaky, I think.
That this is a crazy her plot family twist.
Name. Her family name was Squeaky. Yeah. Well, because even after Manson was jailed, the family was still together, and they would like commit all these robberies. They were trying to like get weapons for him in jail. Like they were still fiercely, fiercely loyal to him, even though he was in jail. So they were still like doing all this fucking weird shit, you know?
Yeah. So Squeaky was sent to prison, but somehow, because I guess she's so squeaky, escaped prison and was caught again and served 34 years. Like that is just she's doing that. Yeah. And then of course, because we see this happen, unfortunately, a lot, people get so obsessed. With serial killers.
Literally.
So it's like, Manson had a relationship with a woman while in prison who moved to California to be closer to prison. God bless Tinder now exists so motherfuckers can just match with someone who does marketing 5 miles away. Because like this
it's still happening.
It's still happening.
They had a million in prison wives.
They were granted a marriage license, but it expired before they could marry. Sure.
But then wasn't it like he said, oh no, we're not getting married, like I don't know who this woman is, and then was like, no, just kidding, we are.
Like she got
I read that, I would believe it.
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
But she loved him. She was just like, yeah, I'm in a relationship with this man. She had some weird name too, like she had a name, but she went by something all funny.
I thought it was Star, but I could have made that up.
I think her name was like Afton and she might have gone by like Star or something, Yeah.
Patricia Krenwinkel regrets everything and urges people not to think of him as a hero. She's apparently a model inmate and is eligible for parole in 2022, but has been denied before because...
All right, Patricia. See you.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, my thing for Patricia is like, cool. Still want you, you know,
I mean, that's interesting. If the world survives until 2022... That'll be a really interesting plot twist.
If we go by all the other people as we read the updates, none of them, they have all been denied parole so many times that there's...
It's not.
I mean, I don't see it happening. Because I was reading some other story about like people in California being paroled, and like there had been people like who would get approved by the review board, but then it still has to get approved by the governor.
Yeah.
And I don't think a governor wants to...
That to be their reputation.
Manson girl of parole.
Well,
and
that's what happened with like Leslie Van Houten was denied twice by Jerry Brown and then was just denied by Gavin Newsom as well. Because even though
so maybe this is approved where I read
her,
it.
Yeah, the parole board had approved her 3 times and she was denied each time. She also been out and has said, like, she's all of them again, like, have grown into being like model inmates. And she was quoted in saying, like, I take very seriously not just the murders, but what made me make myself available to someone like Manson.
Yeah.
Fair enough. This I can respect more than Susan's 180.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Sort of. Like, a little bit.
Yeah, so Gavin Newsom was the one who overruled the parole decision to free her. And now you might know his name because he's been fucking up in California so much with COVID, but that's just a side note. Tex Watson has married, divorced, and fathered 4 children and has become an... And has now, of course, become an ordained minister in prison. He has been denied parole 17 times. So that's just, I don't think it's going to happen for you, buddy.
Yeah, that seems like it's not in the cards. I just can't see any governor wanting that on their track record of like, oh yeah, I paroled a member of the Manson family.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, Bobby Boussoulet is in prison and joined an Aryan gang and has been denied parole 18 times. So
love that for him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just lean
but
in.
On a brighter note, Sharon Tate's mom, Doris, was part of this huge group that worked towards the passage of Proposition 8, which is the victim's rights bill, which was passed in 1982, and it allowed the presentation of victim impact statements during the sentencing of violent attackers. Tate became the first Californian to make such a statement after the law was passed when she spoke at the parole hearing in front of her daughter's killers. So, her mom, like, super went into, like, she ran for, like, a bunch of, like, state assemblies and all this stuff, like, super got involved in victims' rights and things like that. So, I mean, not really a silver lining, but at least, like, because I know the victim impact statements are, like, big, you know?
Yeah. It,
but there is one silver lining, which is apparently, Danny, that Hillary Duff, our queen, played Sharon Tate in a movie about this?
Yes, she did. And how are you so... How did you miss the made-for-TV horror thriller with Hilary Duff starring as Sharon Tate? And yes, of course, Jonathan Bennett, also known as Aaron Samuels from Mean Girls, was in it as well.
Was he Charles?
No, he was a J. Sebring. So, do we want to take a guess what the Rotten Tomatoes rating of the film was?
32.
Casey?
17.
19.
Oh!
Hey!
It's like, and also the thing is, it's 94 minutes, and I feel like that's kind of short to fit everything into it.
We almost talked for 94 minutes.
But we're not, like, right?
And
like,
we're not even filmmakers.
We're not filming it. And, like, just some of the reviews. It was described as unfathomably bad. Like,
oh, shit.
And it's the worst, it could be the worst movie of 2019, but if it's not, it's going to be a rough 2019. I wonder if Cats...
Okay, well.
Wait, it was made that recently?
Yeah, it came out April 5th, 2019.
On what network? Was this like a Lifetime?
Lifetime?
It like it was released on April 5th. I think it only came out, I think it was like video on demand situation. Because I don't remember it being in theater. Yeah, in theater. It was called a Duff's, like it was maybe her worst role, but some people said that her performance and the film's spiritual themes and surprise ending was positive, because I think they do a spin on the ending too, which is also like, how do you spin this? How are you doing an alternate possibility?
Well, that's what Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is about, where they do it where they don't actually, they don't get killed.
Yeah, I think. Spoiler. So the alternate possibility is that like she like slept, like she dreamed it. And they're ghosts.
That's
like,
the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Ew.
So at dawn, the group approaches the house and the others continue to the main road, and Sharon looks at the crime scene. She's shocked at all this. But they imagine it as an alternate possibility, and it's only her premonitions, and they were actually memories of what had already occurred, and that everyone is ghosts.
And what? All her friends That's are the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
And Sharon is holding the baby. Like, what?
Like, that feels...
hostess in this, so, too? Like,
that's like, that feels disrespectful.
I was just about to say, that feels really disrespectful, but then is also Once Upon a Time in Hollywood really disrespectful, or is that...
That's, yeah.
Well, wasn't the family kind of annoyed about it?
I think, yeah. I don't think they, yeah.
I mean, they did. That movie made the family look more like fucking idiots and stupid. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood did, you know what I mean? But, yeah.
No, I meant Sharon Tate's family, not the Manson family.
Yeah, I don't think Sharon Tate's family liked the Once Upon a Time in
Hollywood. Yeah, I read that Sharon Tate's family didn't like it, but I don't think it made them look dumb.
No, it made the Manson, but I mean, the only thing, I meant to say that as like, why like the Hillary Duff one sounds disrespectful and the other one I feel like at least made like some commentary on like this stupid group.
Yeah, but kind of.
Yeah, I guess in a way they're both kind of disrespectful. It's just that one was done better. Is that why we accept Quentin Tarantino's
version? One was with Quentin Tarantino, and this one was directed by Daniel Ferrant, who I think is a little less known.
I was going to say, yeah. One was like Oscar nominated and one maybe won on Lifetime.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's the difference.
One is Hilary Duff, Jonathan Bennett, Lydia Hurst, and none of the other cast members have Wikipedia pages. So that sort of sums.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Yikes. But I could imagine Tate's family being upset about how much attention Once Upon a Time in Hollywood got.
Yeah, she
gave it really is. It's about, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, because even in the either the 60 Minutes or the Real Crime episode I watched, Tate's mom gave like interviews, and she's like so well spoken and articulate about it. I remember she was saying a lot of things about like, why is this film happening? Like, and especially because it is like this like twist, Matt, like it, because it wasn't just like retelling the story, it was kind of like giving it a twist, which doesn't really settle right.
Yeah, it's also kind of mean to be like, what if they didn't die?
Yeah,
like I'm sure that her mom thinks about all this stuff all the time.
Yeah,
like it was like sensational to make Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio like heroes. Like, it, you know, it is a little bit insensitive as well.
That's true.
It's just
because I feel like one thing that every article brings up is basically just how shook everybody was by this.
Mm-hmm.
By the movie?
No, sorry, by the murders.
Oh yeah.
No, this was like
it like changed society.
I mean, it really just the amount of like bludgeoning that they did to these people. It wasn't just like, they were going to kill you. It was like, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to hit you with the gun. And then I'm going to stab you. These were brutal, brutal assaults by people who seemingly did not have a reason to do this. Like there was no reason.
Oof, this one was a doozy, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also like, I had no idea the ins and outs of the thing, you know? And again, there's so much literature. I'd be interested in reading Helter Skelter just to see what the insides of the, like what the prosecutor talked to him about and stuff like that.
Just some light beach reading.
I'll probably save it for like the winter. It doesn't feel like a sun book.
Yes. Oh, when you like are holed up with a million blankets and you're not going to talk to anyone for 3 weeks.
Yeah. It seems like a solo inside book to read.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, cult leaders, it is crazy how they all have the same kind of characteristics, you know? It's like the ability, the charismatic ability to make people like them. But like the mind control is what's crazy. Like how they get people to do this fucking shit just by making them feel good.
I feel the mind control and also the drugs with this one for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like they were saying that like Patricia Krenwinkel, like he got her because she was like kind of insecure about like body hair, and he like made her get naked and was like, look in the mirror and say that you're beautiful. And she was like his after. It just, but it's like, I also like, how little do you need to commit murder? Like somebody to tell you look good naked and you're like,
if only they had Instagram back then.
Yeah. I know. I mean, like, UCB was able to keep me as a cult for a little bit just by saying, like, you're silly, but it only made me embarrass myself on a stage. It didn't make me do anything more worth time. Yeah. Even though improv should be a criminal offense, but that's a different.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, coming from me, Landmark and all the stuff.
I know. I was literally going to say, I was like, Casey, I don't know about this for you.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe at the height of my body hair, if somebody was like, get naked, you're beautiful, I'd be like, you know what?
Thanks.
Give me a knife.
I'll kill for you.
I don't think I would. It is why. It's so crazy. I just can't stop thinking about being 19 years old and being kind of like hypnotized by somebody enough to just ruin other people's lives and then just be in jail for the rest of my life.
Me either.
All right.
Me either. The worst thing I did when I was 19 was drink Four Loko, and that's how I prefer it.
That is not a crime. It should be, but it's not.
Yeah. It later became a crime when they took out the
captain. It
later became a crime on their end for making it. Yeah.
Yes.
So at least justice is served in for them.
Yes.
Justice was served in the Four Loko, and that's what matters. And I think on that note, we have nothing more to say.
No, we did it. We did it. Big ass case.
It was like months in the making. But thank you guys so much for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, NATCpod. You can follow me if you want, Sarah Lameem.
You can follow me at Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K.
You can follow me at KSpaceB and click the link in my bio.
And we will see you guys next time.
Betches.